In Hillsborough, in the last couple of weeks, a couple of big developments. First of all, the latest step in the process of eminent domaining the Colonial Inn, taking it over from the current owners and redeveloping it. Also, at the town board's meeting last night, they passed an ordinance regarding what people can do with chickens, and with more on both of those, mostly the Colonial Inn, I think, but we'll talk about the chicken ordinance too. Orange County Conservative Ashley DeSena, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
And so let's start with the Colonial Inn, which just to give people a recap of the latest, they put in an official sort of formal next step in the process of taking it over, and now Francis Henry and the owners have 120 days, which the clock is ticking now. I think they're down to like 105 or something like that.
Probably
to respond,
so.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yes. So I don't think that the town has gotten any response yet from the owner. And as you've had in your discussion with Mayor Stevens, I think last week when he was talking about the Colonial Inn and the latest town action, there's a few different ways that this could still go. The owner could accept the $250,000 that the town has offered as compensation that they filed with the Orange County Superior Court, I think. And then if the owner accepts the money, then the deed transfers to the town. Then also the owner could contest the amount, and then they could go to court as well. So there's a few different outcomes that could
And then if the
happen.
Owner does nothing at all, the
oh,
deed
that's
still
right.
passes to the town at that point too, right?
Yes. If the owner just waits the 120 days.
That's called a reverse pocket veto.
Oh, right. Well, yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they don't do anything, then it goes to the town. Yeah.
Okay. So that's where things currently stand. And I know that we've been talking about this for more than a year now, and people have been concerned about the Colonial Inn as it's sort of been deteriorating for the last couple of years. But the eminent domain issue is something that is obviously concerning, because you've got this issue of a government stepping in and sort of taking over property from a private owner, which is something that occasionally sometimes needs to happen, but it's also something that you've really got to be wary of. So what are your thoughts on this?
Right. Well, my thoughts are exactly what your last statement are. You really have to be wary of this. And I have a lot of strong feelings on this issue, because I'm very much against eminent domain. In my ideal world, we wouldn't even allow government to have that power, even for things like utilities and roads and stuff like that. It would all be, you know, market driven. But I'm willing to compromise and say, for true public uses, okay, fine, eminent domain. All right, begrudgingly, I'll say it's okay. But this is a case where you have eminent domain being used for economic development. And it's a gamble. It's a gamble with our money, and that being the taxpayers of Hillsborough. But it affects, you know, any taxpayer statewide, even nationally, because as this project moves forward, there are at the very least going to be tax credits that are used at the state and possibly federal level in order to finance this project. So that money is compensated, you know, somewhere. People are paying to make up for it somewhere. And so we have this case where we don't have a sympathetic property owner. He has allowed this undoubtedly historic property, has statewide significance to, you know, he's allowed it to deteriorate for 15 years. A lot of people who live in the town and people who used to live in the town are extremely upset. They have a lot of nostalgic, you know, good memories of this when it was a restaurant operating up until, you know, about the year 2000, I think. And that's what they want it to return to. And it's not that I don't think it's possible. And certainly, you know, also a public safety concern, because the building is in the middle of town and it's deteriorated to the point where it's surrounded by a lot of buildings that if it were, you know, to catch on fire or something like that, it could destroy a whole part of the heart of the downtown area. But then I have said in the past and will continue to say that if it was a public safety issue, the town should have allowed the owner to demolish the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it has statewide significance. And that allowed the town to go forward with eminent domain because you can use historic preservation for properties that have that significance where the owner files to demolish the property. Mm-hmm. So that allowed the town then to step in and proceed, you know, very legally. Of course, the town, I don't want to make it sound like the town is doing anything illegal because they're not. But I just happen to think that although it's legal, it doesn't mean that it's right.
Right. And sort of that gets to a maybe a larger question, which is the question of sort of historical preservation and rules and regulations regarding what you can do and what you can't do with buildings in historical districts. Are those too onerous?
Well, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's although the you would expect the owner. When he purchased the property to abide by, you know, what are the norms for the community.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't, then, you know, unfortunately, I think that's just the price we pay for living in a free society. You're going to have people like this who just are obnoxious and they take advantage of the freedoms that, you know, were offered and create an eyesore and, you know, create a big black hole in the middle of downtown. But, you know, I think that it's unfortunate, but it doesn't matter how I feel mm-hmm. about it or how anybody else feels about it.
Is there sort of a threshold where, like, a property owner can, in this case, allow a building to deteriorate to the point where it becomes, say, a fire hazard or a public safety hazard? Or, I mean, there's also the sort of the economic, like, the neighborhood effect of
right.
property values declining for the properties around as well, which could also be a consideration to the point, like a threshold where a property owner does that to the point where the city or the county or the state or some agency can sort of not just legally but also sort of ethically step in and penalize the property owner for to whatever degree.
Well, it's funny that you say penalize the property owner because that's exactly what Mayor Stevens said he wasn't doing.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was trying not to punish anyone,
mm-hmm.
and he was trying
take
to
action of
stay
some kind.
True to
yeah.
their principles. So apparently the principles are, you know, seizing private property, and that's okay. But I think that, you know, as far, you can't discount the concerns of neighboring property owners because they've invested in real estate and they want their property to be as valuable as possible. And I can understand that point, you know. Again, I think that's part of the unpredictable nature of a free society. You know, it's unfortunate, but I think in some cases it's just going to happen. And then also, if it's a safety hazard, then there's always the option to demolish the building. And I think that's the main concern of the people who live around it, because I think very rightly they're concerned, you know, that they might wake up and the inn's on fire right across the street from them, and they'd have to be concerned if their house is going to catch on fire.
Speaking with Ashley DeSena, and again, we're talking about the Colonial Inn issue and, again, eminent domain. What's the next step in this that we're waiting until the 120 days expires, right? Is that the—
Right, right. So,
I know you've been following
this
for
waiting.
A while.
We're still waiting on a response from the owner or, you know, non-response. If he responds with legal action, then there's going to be, you know, a court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long that's going to take, because the $250,000 that the town has offered, if it goes to court, if the owner contests it, then that's not necessarily what the just compensation that the court is going to, I mean, the court may decide that just compensation is a different amount. That's
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a lot higher. I don't know if Francis Henry hires a good lawyer. I don't know. But the town, you know, says that they're going to, you know, purchase the property, and then they're going to turn it over to a nonprofit that's going to buy it from the town I don't think that that's going to happen. They might sell it to a nonprofit for a dollar. I don't think that they're going to get any of the money back. Because, I mean, nonprofits, they've talked about taking ownership of the building from the town, like Preservation North Carolina. Preservation North Carolina only has a $2 million budget for its whole operating expenses, you know, all year. So they're not going to be able to invest $3 million to renovate this property. It's not possible. I mean, I know a lot of it is going to come from the public, but I think that $3 million is an incredibly low amount. It's going to be at least twice as much based on other properties in the area, you know, even considering the tax breaks and things like that. It's going to be a lot more than $3 million.
So keep following that, and I'm gonna try to remember this conversation, because if it comes to that and then it ends up selling for a dollar versus $300,000, we'll come back and talk about this if we remember, yeah. Which is probably a long shot, but we'll see.
You know, I'm pretty cynical about this, because I think that the town is going to take on a lot more of the costs than they're claiming that they are right now.
So let's shift focus to the other issue that we were going to talk about, which is the chicken ordinance,
sure.
And wrap up with that, because we talked about this with Tom Stevens yesterday. And this was one of the items on the for a couple of minutes. And this was one of the items that was on the agenda for the town board last night. And they did pass the ordinance, right?
It's
on the consent agenda. And this is setting a minimum lot size for whether you're allowed to own chickens or not.
Yes. Yes.
Chickens are such a – I had no idea until I moved down here, because there was the chicken issue in Carrboro, and I think Chapel Hill had it too, and now Hillsboro. Like, this is a big deal.
It is. No, it definitely is. And I have chickens myself. I mean, I'm not endangered by this ordinance or anything like that. So it doesn't really affect me. But, yeah, my neighbors have chickens. Tons of people in West Hillsboro, that part of town I live in, have chickens. And we even have a mystery chicken that's running around. We're trying to figure out. My neighbor's just calling me this morning trying to figure out who it belongs to. But it's not mine.
Is there a way to tell?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean,
it probably just got, you know, they like to roost in trees.
Right.
And so maybe he went in a tree instead of going in the coop and then just sort of got outside of his fence or something. I don't know. Chickens have their own personalities and goals. They really do. But yeah, so the previous ordinance that the town had said that in order to keep chickens or any other kind of small, farm animals, I think is how it's designated. You had to have the minimum lot size that was assigned to your zoning district. And Hillsboro has a ton of different residential zoning districts.
Right.
You know, there's 10,000 square feet for what's called R10. And then you have 15,000, 20, and then 40,000, I think, are different types of residential minimum lot size requirements for zoning districts. And so what the new ordinance that they passed last night did was they took everything down to 10,000 square feet. So initially, this may allow people who live in areas that are zoned with larger minimum lot size requirements to keep chickens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's now that they're fine, but there are lots of potential new development, you know, like in the Waterstone area, where the lot sizes are smaller than that. And if the developments were to allow that, then these people that are moving into town wouldn't be able to have chickens, because it doesn't meet the minimum size. So I'm concerned that, you know, because a lot of the new development going on is done with something called special use permits, where they're allowing lot sizes smaller than 10,000, which is the minimum, then a lot of people won't be able to keep chickens, you know, on their property in the future. And I don't like the idea of a minimum lot size to begin with, because, you know, property is property. You should be able to subdivide it if you want to. But then also, you know, the town board has discussed doing things like making a cap on the maximum number of chickens you can have, or having a registry, or making you permit. Like, the city of Durham makes people get permits and inspections and things like that, which are just ridiculously onerous. And instead, you know, I wish they would focus on the health benefits of keeping chickens. I mean, if anything, I wish they were encouraging people to have backyard chickens instead of, you know, having most people keep them for eggs. And so, you know, instead of getting, you know, factory farm chicken eggs, you can have, you know, eggs in your own backyard. It's great for kids. kids to learn, you know, sort of where food comes from, yeah, and in addition to just being more healthy and that sort of thing. So I hope in the future they won't try to make the ordinance more onerous than it already is.
So for this ordinance, really the sort of negative effect is on those new developments like Waterstones?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because a lot of developments that are occurring, it seems to be they're following the special use permit process. Mm-hmm. And so although the minimum lot size for the town as a whole is 10,000 square feet, the special use permits allows lots smaller than that. So it's hard to say how many people will be affected in the future. And I hope that the town is willing to revisit the ordinances that they're writing now, or perhaps even revisit, you know, minimum lot size, you know, as their population grows more dense. I think they're really going to have to look at that. And I'm sorry, I should have prefaced this by saying that that's the minimum lot size for a single detached dwelling.
Right.
Like just a house.
It's as opposed to like the townhouse or apartment complex kind of thing.
That's a whole different thing.
All right. This is, there's a lot to think about. All right, so we got to let you go. But again, Colonial Inn still in the process of that development, still in the process of developing. So we'll keep following that. But yes. Ashley DeSena, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Aaron.